Sustainability is about considering the future as we go about everyday life. So, what challenges do young people face today? Hello and welcome to the Future Voices Sustainability Series. My name is Remy Norton and I'm a final year Charles Sturt student studying a Bachelor of Communication, specialising in news and media. I recently had the pleasure of working with Charles Sturt academics and students from Bathurst High Schools to unpack the United Nations Sustainability Development Goals to highlight localised issues of youth interest and concern. I am the producer of the first four episodes of this podcast series that have been written and recorded by senior students from both campuses of Denison College. Denison students came together for a day of production in the new Charles Sturt Communication Precinct, where they learned how to plan and record their own podcast episodes. Students spoke to special guests and industry experts to gain a better understanding of their chosen issues and look forward to sharing some of these ideas with their community.
This is your one-stop shop for all related sustainability opinions. Today's is on transport and urban civilization. I am Tony, and this is my producer, Jake.
Hey, let's dive into it. Sustainability, let's do it.
And we have today our guest,
Ben, or that Ben guy.
And he is here to help out, say hi, and help with the conversation. Public transport was useful and good for the environment compared to standard means of transport. But what standard means of transport would you say are good or better than just going around in your car?
I'll probably say that active transport is the best form of commuting, in my personal opinion. It has multiple benefits, not only for having probably next to no carbon emissions for travel, but then on top of that, there's health and well-being benefits to the users. So rather than sitting in their car or on a train commuting to work, actively getting out and about and keeping themselves active in that regard. There's also other health benefits as well to that, and therefore, you know, reduces impact on health systems as well. If we've got a healthier population, you've got less people requiring assistance with our healthcare systems.
I agree with you there on that. Active transportation and transporting oneself, what are the negatives that can exist of using a thing like a train and building rails and trains and having trams cutting through places?
I would probably actually say that, well, roads are probably of higher impact, truth be honest. Because there is a greater proportion of road infrastructure out there as opposed to train infrastructure, and you're able to transport a larger concentration of people through public transport, train transportation. Yes, there may be some issues with some of the flexibility with if you are trying to establish new train lines going through some areas which might be pre-existing established habitat, and it may require some of this section to be cut out, so to speak. But, each year roads are required to be maintained to a certain level, and then on top of that, having more cars on the road means there's a higher carbon emissions footprint for all of us. So the more that we can push towards public transport, the better. But obviously this cannot be applied across all areas. So for example, regional areas versus urban, obviously it makes sense in urban areas where there's high population densities, but in regional areas it may not make sense. And that's where probably there might be a case of a more negative impact with train infrastructure coming through certain areas.
So what is your opinion on the sustainability of underground transport, as in underground highways and underground rail systems? Do you think they are sustainable for both human and natural biological life?
I think they are. Obviously, the benefit of going underground means that you are not impacting on what's above the surface. I guess a great example might be looking up into the Blue Mountains close to us here in Bathurst. Having some infrastructure which is going in under that national park area rather than going up through some of that established vegetation will have benefits for the biodiversity value. Now, there might be some challenges, whether it is, suitable rock formations in there to dig into and making sure that they're not compromising any structural aspects in that build.
So you commented on how it could be a struggle to get through some of the rocks. Do you think it is more or less sustainable the resources it would take to drill out these tunnels?
Yeah, there would be economic cost for going in, you know, underground as opposed to through on top through forest area or, you know, through already established area. Thing is, in terms of, you know, what's of balance when it comes to social, economic and environmental considerations, often or not in the past, economical means have been of more interest than as opposed to the social and to a lesser extent the environmental.
Back to the trains and public transport. With the new Marigold set of trains that the government has brought in for Sydney, with their mishandling and poor procurement being too big to be used and having to be stored for multiple years off-site, what are the sustainability impacts of making such quick decisions and then having to hold off on them for years?
They were bought with the consideration of, you know, improving on energy and fuel efficiency, but they're not able to implement that currently, so they're having to continue with what is current at this point. So that's obviously a bit of a challenge. The other thing as well, with having these new assets set in off to the side, it means there's obviously a bit of a waste component to this if they're not able to reuse or repurpose them. By the sense of things, they are trying to repurpose them. This will take some time. You know, it might be a couple of years down the track before they're utilising this product, and therefore in resource inefficiency that's probably been acquired there.
Do you think that we should have enough more, that the government should push public transport and push for enough more to the point that it can be seriously seen as an alternative, to the point where it can be accessible by everyone, to the point where you might not need a car?
It's a good question. I think there's probably no silver bullet to this. It's everyone has their own interests in wanting to have a car, whether it be for transportation. It might also be for functional purposes as well, with, say, you know, it might be a part of your job role. Say, for example, a tradesman being able to get from point A to point B with the various tools and equipment that they need, and they need liberty, so to speak, within their vehicles. I guess it might be a case of some creative policy making in terms of how we go about registering vehicles. There might be exemptions for those who have or rely on their cars for work in regards to, you know, registrations, fees and whatnot. But then on top of that, with areas that have public transport, you know, the idea of having some more subsidised public transport for those areas could be of interest. But it is very sort of out of the box and may not be acceptable by the all. I think it, personally though, it has to come down to individuals taking that informed approach to, you know, maybe ease off on the amount of reliance on their vehicles, whether it be, okay, instead of driving to work five times a week, maybe start off with once a week riding your bike to work, or taking an alternative transport option.
Well, it appears that we have run out of time. Thank you for coming on the show with us, Ben. And that's all we have to say for today. Hopefully this made you think about potentially using public transport as more of a thing, listener. But that's all we have time for today.
Thank you for tuning in to the Future Voices Sustainability Series. Make sure to stay connected and listen out for our next episode as students continue to explore and discuss youth-nominated topics. A heartfelt thank you goes out to senior high school participants, visiting teaching staff, Charles Sturt lecturers, and all special guests for their invaluable contribution in bringing this podcast to life. A special acknowledgement to Sustainability at Charles Sturt, who supported this work through a sustainability project grant. You can find out more about this inspired work happening across our university in the annual Charles Sturt Sustainability Development Goals Report.